We're back after 2 years. We've got XPRIZE, Disney, Mermaids, Leo Camacho, some cosplay, red carpets, and robots. You're listening to the EvaDot Podcast for September 24th, 2014. Joining me today is Leo Camacho from the XPRIZE Foundation, also kind of Prince Eric, doppelganger. Prince Eric as in The Little Mermaid. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
So how long have you been Prince Eric?
Well, let's just cut straight to the chase.
let's just go for it.
Yeah. I would say now I think I'm crawling up on 2 years.
So probably. For people that don't know you, I think maybe we should back up a little bit because I did kind of jump in with both. You and I have known each other for a while.
We've
a couple of years now. We've met several times. We've worked on.
We've traveled a little bit together too.
We have. We've gone to different countries.
Were you in Chile?
No.
You were.
No,
in Chile,
I went to Isle of Man, which I think was before you.
That was right before me, and you and I went to Washington, D.C. together.
Right, and I lived there, so I didn't really go that far.
Shh. Make it sound exotic.
It is to people that haven't been there.
Yeah.
So, but you and I have known each other for a while. I've been involved in a number of projects at the XPRIZE Foundation. I've been a commenter on the Google Lunar X Prize. I've been a team member on the Google Lunar X Prize. I've been a judge for the Moonbots competition, which hopefully we get to talk about a little bit later because it's related to why we're talking today.
Yeah, and you've been a major source for me when I first started here at X Prize. I mean, your material was some of the stuff that I studied to be, you know, to catch myself up to speed with the contest. So you're as big a part of this competition as anybody.
That's awesome. So why don't we back up, just in case people don't know what the XPRIZE Foundation is. Why don't you give us the pitch? Because you actually work for XPRIZE, right?
Yeah.
So just tell us a little bit about what it is. I'm cheating. I know all about it. So let's not assume that people listening know what it is.
Sure. So XPRIZE is a nonprofit that hosts incentivized competitions. So they run these contests for very large amounts of money as a prize. But the challenges to win that money are always geared around sort of, to sum it up, making the world a better place, right? Generally science and technology, but not limited to that. And we're very specific about that because, you know, some other things, might revolve around simpler ideas. But thus far, we've had challenges that revolve around the ocean and making it cleaner and as far as cleaning up oil spills and measuring pH levels. We, as you well know, we have the Google Lunar X Prize, which is to land a commercial robot on the moon for $30 million. We have the Tricorder with Qualcomm, which is to create a handheld digital device that can diagnose up to 15 different diseases. So we're kind of spread all around that sort of science-y field. But what it basically does is gives smaller entrepreneurs a chance to sort of bring their technology to light where bigger and conglomerate type companies don't really have the time to bother with these smaller tasks, but these smaller tasks could eventually end up changing the world. So we kind of take the first step into new frontiers.
Right. So the XPRIZE Foundation was actually founded on the idea of incentive prizes. This is technically podcast 100, but I'm kind of calling it podcast number one. I've certainly talked about incentive prizes quite a bit on previous podcasts, but you know, a lot of people don't know that, like Charles Lindbergh won a prize across the Atlantic, the Orteig Prize. I know that the canning process in the early 1800s was a result of a prize that Napoleon put out.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he needed to feed his armies, and it was one of those things that was maybe it wasn't Napoleon. I should probably go do my homework, but it was somebody. The one of the modern advances in canning in general happened because of an incentive prize, government sponsored. I think in that particular case, France, or I think it was France.
Yeah, there are pretty pivotal moments in history that revolve around someone accomplishing the task for a little bit of money, just enough to make them think it was worth the effort. That a lot of people don't realize, and XPRIZE has really taken that sort of to the next level.
Yeah. So I alluded to something that maybe people didn't understand at all. You happen to look, in character anyway, a lot like Prince Eric from The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting thing to
you
be.
You do.
Yeah, I do.
I didn't think that the first time I met you, But once I saw you in costume, I thought, gosh, you know what? You actually do.
Yeah, it's funny. It's one of those things that, like, I kind of grew up hearing casually as a joke, and occasionally Aladdin. In my later years, more Jake Gyllenhaal. But
I hadn't thought about him.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And now there's a show called Once Upon a Time on ABC, which is a Disney show, of course. And I look, the celebrity who plays the Captain Hook character could be my brother. I mean, the guy looks exactly like me. So I was just born of a stock of doppelgangers. I don't know what it is.
Maybe, or just you're just good at putting on costumes and acting like people, or
I think it's that I have very animated eyebrows and humongous eyes, and so I just kind of tend to look like cartoon characters.
You do. Somebody, in fact, when I put out a call on Twitter before I did this, and somebody, I don't remember who it was, asked me if your eyebrows held any secrets.
Oh, yes, but I can't tell you.
Oh, okay.
How do you think XPRIZE hired me?
It was all about the eyebrows.
Yeah, they're a vault.
So you are doing a new project. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, so funny enough, you were mentioning the Prince Eric thing, and that's a whole other sub-community that I'm a part of, a very nerdy thing called cosplay, and also YouTube and things of that nature. But I've been doing a lot of Disney-related material.
I see all over – you and I are Facebook friends.
Yeah.
I see all over your Facebook wall. I think you live at Disney.
It started as a casual thing. I've always had a year pass, and I would go, and then – I started doing this thing called, I was cosplaying, and that was getting attention outside of Disneyland, but I did this thing called Disney Bounding, which you kind of go dressed in regular clothes and themed after characters, and it picked up a lot of steam and a lot of attention, and so it kind of brought me to the forefront of this sort of Disney subculture, and as a result, my frequency at Disneyland increased, because it was just something that was good for publicity and also very fun to do. It wasn't like it
was torture. Which helps, right? It makes it genuine.
Yeah. Sometimes I tend to say that I go like, oh, I go because, you know, I have to do a shoot there or something, but I just want to go to Disneyland. It's super fun for me.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Who doesn't? As a result, I've just sort of kind of got really deep into this Disney subculture. Not that I wasn't already a fan. I was already a super fan. I'm an illustrator also, and that stems from me loving Disney. So it's just kind of been this sort of reoccurring background theme in my life. But we approached them, or they approached us, or a combination of both, to work with them, to form some sort of partnership with XPRIZE and Disney. And me being, quote-unquote, the Disney guy, I was called in on the initial meetings to help sort of form this idea. What could we work on? What could we do? You know, where are our visions aligned? And we realized that, first of all, Disney is making a humongous push.
One of those. We're making up words on this show.
Why not, right? Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. So
that's the best word of all time. Anyway, I digress. Let's go on.
Yes. So they are making humongous push towards STEAM education. Like, that is their baby right now. And we're like, hey, we know a thing or two about that. We have a program called Moonbots, which is a STEAM-based Lego Mindstorms robotics competition that we host sort of as a kids' version of the Google Lunar X Prize. They said, right. Great. I've been a judge on that. And you've been a judge on. Yeah, exactly. So they were perfect.
For people that don't know, STEAM is science, technology, engineering, art, and math, right?
Yeah.
It used to be STEM, and now we added an A.
Exactly. And we're really big advocates of the A.
Me too.
Because like kids like me, I was never really kind of science grounded. I loved it, but math wasn't my strong suit. It was always English and arts. And so
aren't the artists the storytellers? Somebody's got to tell the story.
Well, exactly. And that's a recurring theme with you and I in the Google Lunar X Prize, right? Like, what good is landing on the moon if nobody tells the story?
Right.
So we think that's a crucial part. And also it opens up the doors to a larger audience of kids that could now interact with this sort of program. Coincidentally enough, their next movie is about a kid and his robot. How perfect is that? Big Hero 6 is about this child genius who builds robotics. He builds microbots, and his older brother built a health robot, which is also appropriate.
Wait, so this movie's about me?
It's about you.
Okay.
FYI, we stalked you for about 5 years, and we molded.
Right. Because I'm that 30, I don't remember how old I am now, 39. I'm that 39-year-old kid who's still building robots in the garage, so.
Aren't we all, you know? It's actually funny you said that. I was talking to my grandmother the other day, and I was catching her up on my life, and I brought up Moonbots and the fact that I was working with Lego to build robots, you know? Mm-hmm. And she couldn't believe it, and she's like, remember when we used to sit on the floor and build Lego robots when you were a kid? And it was just like this surreal moment. I was like, wow, that's a full circle, isn't it?
Yeah, and not much has changed.
Not much. No, I'm like, I'm still doing that, Grandma, and I'm still doing it on the floor. It's not even on tables.
Right. That's why we hang around kids, right? So we don't look like the creepy adults playing with Legos.
Yeah, and you know, it's A, to save face and not be creepy, and B, if you would have had someone like you when you were a kid to say, that's really cool, I know you're at with this, but check this out. And just introduce those subtleties that you never had access to or that didn't exist. Like, can you imagine what those kids are capable of? And so it's sort of, I mean, that's obviously the mission behind Moonbots. But with Big Hero 6, it's even going beyond that, because a big push with Moonbots is FIRST Robotics, which is, you know, it's in schools, it's in different institutions, it's much more organized, but it's, you know, it's a little bit more directed towards kids that are already inclined in that direction or have access to people that are aware of it, where right. Disney is in everybody's face, regardless of what you like, Disney is there, and they want to leverage that platform, and we thought this is a perfect opportunity to kind of introduce new scientists to this sort of world, and here we are. So we have the Big Hero 6 XPRIZE Challenge now. And it's a perfect culmination of the things that I've been working on with Google Lunar XPRIZE, Moonbots, and then my side hobbies and passions revolving around Disney and sort of just being generally creative with YouTube as well.
Well, that sounds terrible.
It's, you know, I come to work and I cry in a corner every single day.
I'm sure you do. you're just using up all the tissues and, I mean, you're probably seeing a therapist. It sounds terrible.
Look, you're reading my life.
Well, I've been stalking you too, so.
Oh, well, we'll have to catch up on each other's lives. This is interesting. But no, just to clarify, just in case everyone doesn't get it, this is literally for the first time in my life, I wake up and all I want to do is go to work. I just want to spend all my time here and just work on this nonstop. It doesn't feel like work because I absolutely love every second of it. And that's truly how I feel. It's not like I'm putting icing on any sort of marketing cake. It doesn't get more real than that. This is what I love.
I call it the poser effect. If you do something and you're not genuine about it. There's a couple female technologists that I really like. Molly Wood is an example of one. Veronica Belmont. And my son and I were talking about this. They are sometimes, girls sell games, right?
Right.
Right. And you can tell if they don't really care. It's just marketing, right? It's just an actress pretending to like this stuff.
Yep.
Right. It's so much better when you actually do, when I can look in your eye. It doesn't matter if you're a guy or girl or whoever it is that's promoting whatever it is. There's a big difference between I'm just here to be the pretty face and tell you why this is cool and this is just cool.
Yeah. Are you saying I'm a pretty face?
I'm more into the Ariels of the world than the Prince Erics, but not terrible to look at.
No, but I completely agree. Actually, I've been following Veronica Belmont for years for that very same reason, and I believe that that's kind of at the core of this sort of mindset and culture is like, especially the quote unquote nerd and geek culture, is that authenticity is very apparent, and you sort of sense that about people, whether they really, really care in this field more than ever, because originally being a nerd wasn't mainstream. It wasn't cool. Now it's completely
terrible. When I was a kid, it was terrible to be a nerd.
Right. Of course. Same with me. I remember sitting in the corner of the playground drawing Mega Man robots, because I just thought robots and cartoons were cool and nobody wanted to talk to me because of it. Now it's like I'm literally doing that for a living and it's amazing. But, so you sense that. You sense that this is something that's real to people. It's something very special because even if you got made fun of for doing it, you stuck to your guns and you did it because you loved it. And now that's kind of the beating heart of these sorts of programs. And so you sense that in these personalities, and it's why the pretty faces exist. But you'll notice a lot of
Hey, I'm not a pretty face.
I'm not saying not attractive. I'm not even saying physical appearance, but you'll notice that a lot of like the voices that speak out about it aren't even people that are in front of a camera
right.
and still have like huge influence, because it doesn't matter what you look like. It's all about the message. So.
Right. So tell us what it is that the prize, this whole contest is about. I think we kind of glossed over it. We got so excited about it being exciting.
Yeah, well,
I forgot to tell people what it is.
That's part of it. It's just an exciting thing to do. So that's part of the contest. And that actually should fuel the second part, which is you register, you submit a video, which has no real limitations. You sort of just come up with a concept. First of all, you find a problem that exists in the world. It can be anything from something small to something big. But regardless, you find a problem that doesn't currently have an overwhelming solution to it. Then you devise some sort of solution for that problem based in reality, right? Like, we don't want you to just come up with like, well, if we can call aliens down, because right. that's not feasible.
Let's just invent time travel.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Let's just go to the future. No problem. Problem solved. So some sort of, but I mean, if it has to be, you know, wacky, but feasible, then that's okay to address this issue, and then explain how that would work, right? Even if it's, you know, there's loopholes, that's irrelevant. We just want to see the beginnings of this process. We just want to spark people to start thinking about the world in general, the bigger problems that lie there, and you know, how do you start sort of pursuing, because that's a big thing with XPRIZE, is how do you identify these market failures or these gaps that exist. And how do you approach creating the first steps? So the prize is never intended to be the ultimate solution. It's just supposed to be like landing on the moon with a commercial rover. It doesn't sound that impressive because we've been on the moon before. To the general public, right? They're like, oh, we've been there before. But to the people in the industry, they know that that's never been done before, and that opens up a brand new industry of robotics and aeronautics and all sorts of things that could then lead to businesses that capitalize on the fact that we are on the moon, which currently we don't. We just use it for exploration. Right. And so that's the kind of idea with this, is we want kids to just start thinking now. It's in two age brackets, from 8 to 13 and from 8 to 12 and then 13 to 17. And then ultimately we will down select to 20, I believe it is. And then we have a group of judges, which are composed of sort of leadership thinkers, that will vote on these. And then we have a crowd voting sort of element in place that will select the final winners. And we choose three from each age bracket, so three from 8 to 12 and three from 13 to 17, thus creating the real-life Big Hero 6.
Interesting. So
kind of a cool time.
Unlike Moonbots, this is really more of an individual kind of thing, right?
This is an individual sort of thing, and you don't have to build anything. Just because of the shorter nature of the contest, robotics tend to take a long time.
Yeah.
And this was, you know, we really wanted kids to just jump on this. And plus, we didn't want there to be a sort of limitation. Like, not every kid has the robotics kit, or they don't have the right pieces. We wanted them to.
The lack of resources shouldn't negate the fact that you identify a problem, see that it has an impact, and then you have a solution, right?
And if
you don't necessarily start a business with money.
Right, exactly.
You start it with the idea and a proposed solution.
Right. Now, if you have robotics, do that. Build us something and show us. If you're an artist, then draw your concepts. If you're a writer, then you know, create an eloquent speech that sells your sort of thought. That's really what we want. And then that's also the A in STEAM, right? Just that creativity element again. So here we are now, and we're pushing it out there, and we're getting some pretty positive response. And I'm really, really, really excited to see that first video roll in. I can't even tell you.
I think they're going to be awesome. So it's October 12th, right?
Yes, that's the deadline.
And I'll put the URL in the show notes, because it's horrible to read URLs in audio. So you have to actually go in the thing. But a couple of things I was thinking about, you know, it's probably parents that listen to the podcast, not 9-year-olds.
Right.
I don't think 9-year-olds are my audience. I maybe should do a few things to change that, because I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's fix that.
Well, I think 9-year-olds have a lot of things to say, right? And usually they're not constrained by it can't be done.
Right.
So a lot of times 9-year-olds have better ideas than 39-year-olds. I still can't believe I'm saying that about myself, but. So if parents are you know, they're showing this to their kids, and their kids are like, oh, this is really awesome, I want to go do it, how much parent involvement is appropriate for their video?
That is the question, isn't it? I feel like that exact question kind of runs through every educational program, and you see it all the way, even in FIRST Robotics. I mean, I'm at the World Championships in St. Louis, right, you know, a couple months ago, and the parents are almost more active than the kids sometimes. Which is awesome.
This is supposed to be a catalyst for kids.
Right. And that's kind of why we also made the barrier of entry very low, because the kids wouldn't need that much help from their parents. I mean, granted, the parents may help them edit the videos if they don't already know how, and film them and maybe acquire the pieces. So I feel like that's all very, very appropriate. If you're getting into special effects and your parents help you put it together, you know, that's cool too. I mean, we are going to be watching these videos personally, and we're going to be able to kind of tell if the kid is behind it or the parent is behind it.
I mean, like we've talked about before, I've been a judge of Moonbots, and we got hundreds and hundreds of videos. Right. We saw a couple that I'm pretty sure that were done entirely by the parents.
Yeah, the kids could have just been, a cardboard cutout on a stick, and it wouldn't have made a difference, you know. So, yeah, if we're seeing Michael Bay quality video, I think it's safe to assume that a 13-year-old did not put that together.
And if they did, maybe there's some explanation to be had that they could include. Why they're specially qualified to make this look like, you know, something that came out of a Disney studio versus, my studio, which would look like line drawings on a piece of notebook paper.
Now, if that did happen, if we did see like that level of production, and the kid was just like super stoked about it, and this is like, my parents are helping me make my dream come, then yes, please feed me that, because that's an amazing ecosystem that you have at home, and that's what we want to sort of endorse and push out there. And we want people to show, like,
those are the kind of stories I like to tell all the time.
Oh my gosh, that's the best. And we see that also in Moonbots and FIRST. It's like an equal level of engagement. It's not just parents kind of tugging their kids' leash, but the kids leading and the parents sort of try to keep up. Right. So it's awesome.
In fact, Liberty, she's going to be on Thursday. So I'm going to interview her on Thursday. I met her through Moonbots. She's got a whole new education program that she's put together with a grant and everything.
Yeah.
A great example of, somebody just as excited as her kid is. And she's got a good story to tell too.
She's great. I met her at FIRST Robotics 2 years ago, and she just ran up with a jester hat.
That's her signature.
And already knew what Moonbots was. And she's like, "You're Leo, the guy from Moonbots." I'm like, "Whoa, you are on it. This is amazing." And she's so enthusiastic. So that'll be a great show.
Yeah. So just to kind of wrap up on parents' involvement, I think there is an understanding when you're watching these videos that parents of an 8-year-old are probably going to need to help a little bit more,
of course,
than 17-year-old. Right. 17-year-old probably doesn't need a whole lot of help, but an 8-year-old probably doesn't even know how to, cut the thing for time or make sure that there's, the cat's not walking in front of the camera and that kind of thing.
Right.
And that understanding.
That's all wrapping, right? Like we want it can be as pretty as you make it, but ultimately the core of it has to be what's good. And that's what we're looking out for. We don't want to discourage all of that sort of post-production, of course, be as creative as possible, but we really want this to be a message that it doesn't matter. It's really about the core messaging and the kids' ideas shining.
Your enthusiasm for it.
Right.
I think there's some of those intangibles that you can't say as a judge what you're looking for, but I think that fire in your eyes, it certainly helps get your idea across.
And whether you meet it or not, it influences your decision.
So are there ideas that are too big, too small? I mean, we talked about it a little bit.
No such thing as either.
Good.
I feel, if it's something that's global, then please, yes. For example, the oceans, like how do you measure the pH levels of the oceans effectively? I mean, that's part of the reason we have the Wendy Schmidt Ocean Health X Prize, is because we don't know how to approach that, right? Because you can create a sensor, but how do you get So that's a big.
Hey, Leo. Leo, hold on a second. I lost you for a sec.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay, you're back.
Okay, where'd you lose me?
Let's go back to Wendy Schmidt.
Yeah. So the Wendy Schmidt Ocean Health X Prize, part of the challenge is how do you effectively measure something that covers 75% of our planet, right? And gain that data. So that's a huge global issue, a big, big idea. But it could be something as small as an issue that faces your community. How do you get vegetation to grow in an urban environment with buildings in the way? How do you get rid of traffic? It could even be smaller than that.
It could be a banana launcher.
It could be a exactly. That was the example I used in the video. If you
can I think you just wanted to draw monkeys.
You know, it was funny because I improv that line. I was just thinking about it, and everybody was like, that was really great, because that's sort of what a kid would think of, and that's what I was trying to think of. But in my mind, I was like, I'm totally going to draw a monkey and a robot shooting a banana. And I lived my dream. I made it happen, just like these kids. but, you know, any level. I mean, if it's something like, my house is too cold, how can I make it warmer? You know, things like that. It could be any level.
That's a valid problem.
That's a real problem, absolutely. And then that's something scalable, right? Like, even if it's addressing one issue in one particular area, that issue may exist somewhere else that you're unaware of. A really cool story, actually. This is a really cool one that I learned here at XPRIZE from one of our life science guys. There was this tribe in Africa that would go into the city to trade for goods and things like that and sell their products. And a doctor noticed that because they weren't used to, like, the roads and things like that, they kept getting hit by cars, oddly
enough.
That's
not good.
In case
you don't know, getting hit by a car is bad.
So that's a problem. You could address that. But as a result, they were always in the hospital, and the doctors would assess them. And one doctor noticed that all of these people that would come in from this very specific region that were hit by cars quite frequently, oddly enough, never had more than bruises. They never had broken bones or serious injury. He also did some studying, and a correlation turned up that these same people were coming in for complaints on, like, a lot of head pressure headaches. So they would have to get their skulls drilled to alleviate some of the fluid, to drain some of the fluid and alleviate the pressure. So we sent these sort of findings over to a major medical center here in the States. And what they discovered was they had a mutated gene that was causing their bone density to be thicker than every other humans on the planet, basically.
Oh, like super bones.
Like super bones, right? And they were able to kind of take this and biohack it. And they found that when they give it to women with pregnancy, that are pregnant, it reduces their likelihood of getting osteoporosis and brittle bones. Yeah. So a very small, very isolated incident turned into something that benefited the entire planet just by happenstance and a random mutation. So no idea is too small. No experience is too isolated.
You never know. You know, something can be made from something that's completely unrelated.
Right.
The point is to do good work.
Yeah. And what's the biggest example, even whether it's 100% true or not, is, you know, the idea of Velcro. You know, the whole thing, like now we use it on everything, but it started as a means to keep things from floating around in space.
Right. So I think we probably covered everything, but I just wanted to ask you personally, what do you hope to have come of this? And I'm not talking about Disney and XPRIZE, and they have their own answers, right? And I understand that you kind of speak for them. What do you personally want to have come from this competition?
Okay, that's a good question. This is
I got him to trip.
Yeah, well, this is something that I've actually felt. Well, because, you know, like, you get so caught up in repeating messaging, and even though you believe it, it just kind of becomes a pattern.
Sure.
But this is something I've felt since Moonbots, and I feel this from the bottom of my heart. The first time I worked on that program, from designing a postcard to then later actually assisting at the events and coming up with the concepts and things like that. It's the process is fun. Coming up with it is fun. And obviously I'd like to do that forever. But I want to do it forever because I want kids, I don't know. I want one day there to be a kid who accomplishes something major, like, and I'm talking number one post on Reddit major,
right?
And he says, oh, when I was a kid, I did Moonbots, or when I was a kid, I did this Big Hero 6 thing. And I just wanted to do more of them. And I want to be the guy that creates more of them, right? I want these things to always exist, to always be there, so that a child who wants to participate in these things and more, you know, so they can, but more than that, I want them to be proud of doing it. I don't want it to be some club that they go to after school and don't tell their friends. Right. I want it to be the thing that their friends are jealous that they can't go, if they can't go. But I want it to be accessible to that. I want to work on these programs because I wish I could have done them. I want to create sort of this, this environment that if I could go back in time, I would place myself in. And I want it to be fun. I want it to be enjoyable. And I want kids to feel like they're really doing something, even if it's something simple. Because I know that if I would have had access to something like this, I would have just tore it up, right? I would have just gone all out. And I didn't, because I didn't know. And now with the advent of social media, I want it to be something that everyone can see. Mm. I want something that parents think is easy and that they want to do, because I feel like a big barrier is parents don't want to be troubled. And right. Something like this, it's so easy. You point a camera at a kid and bam, you've just inspired them for the rest of their life.
Right. And you never know what that spark, where that spark comes from. You just don't. And you hear so many people who will say, oh, it's this amazing teacher that I had. And the teacher probably doesn't think that they did anything in particular other than just be themselves.
Yeah. Basically, right. I want to be that, that story of the kid who goes back to his elementary school after he's graduated from Harvard. And it's like, hey, thanks, teacher. It was all up to you. And then there's, it's like this sort of TSA TSA. TSA. I'm thinking.
You fly a lot.
Yeah, I fly a lot.
A PSA.
A PSA.
A public service announcement.
What's a trans world service? Anyways. I want that story, but I wouldn't even get that much of the credit, right? Like, I just want the kid to have that seed planted and right, like, personally.
They don't remember who it was. They just remember it was part of this.
There was some dude with big eyebrows that kind of looked like Big Eric. I saw him on a YouTube video once and it changed my life, right? Like, I don't even need that credit. I just want to know that they saw that, and I want to work on the, personally, like, that's the longevity, that's the career, that's the goal, that's the monetary value, and all this is that I could make a career out of it. But personally, it's just super fulfilling, and I would never feel like I was working another day in my life, to be honest.
Boy, that's awesome. Thanks so much for joining us today. I think
my pleasure.
I think it's been really great.
Oh, it's been a blast, man. Thank you for having me. It's a real honor.
All right.
By the way, we didn't even discuss the prizes.
Oh, my gosh.
The prizes. Oh, my gosh. We talked about how great the program is. We didn't even care if you win.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to leave this in here. It's not over, folks. Come back. Not over.
I'm so sorry.
Good thing there's no ad to get to at the end, because people are like, we're done.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so the prizes. It's super cool. If you are in the Big Hero 6, the big winners, you get a flight out to Los Angeles. You get to spend a day with the creative minds of Big Hero 6. You get to see their facilities. You get to see how they made it happen. And you get to walk the red carpet of Big Hero 6 world premiere. So it's obviously it's super fun, but it's also a very creative sort of driving engine for these kids that have already proven themselves, and now they're going to be pushed to that next level. So yeah, that's awesome in and of itself, and totally forgot to mention that.
So do you think I can pass for a 17-year-old?
If you cut your mustache a certain way,
I have too much gray in my beard. That's not going to work at all. I think maybe even the beard will probably give it away. But
don't doubt yourself. There are some early children out there.
You can be a poser yet.
You're not 18 yet,
but. All right, man. And now we're
out of here. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.